Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
There's an old Greek saying, those whom the gods would destroy, they first make proud. If I had to pick one area of science where the truth of this saying comes home time and time again, it would be in the study of the genome. Surely we're all familiar with those news stories that trumpet the discovery of a gene or a mutation which the researchers specifically linked to the presence of a certain disease. But another top story of 2012 that didn't get nearly as much press was about how much more complex at least the human genome is. Now scientists are taking a look at large populations. Instead of looking at 100 people, they're looking at populations in the thousands. When scientists at the University of Washington looked at portions of more than 15,000 genes in 2,440 people, they found that 86% of the variants they identified were of a rarer variety. Those found in less than 0.05% of the population. Think about that. 86% of the variants studied on these more than almost 2,500 people were rare. Then another group, this one at UCLA, looked at the variants of 202 genes in more than 14,000 people, and they found that 95% of the variants were found in less than 0.5% of the subjects. And 74% were only found in one or two in that entire sample of 14,000 people. So what does this mean? Well, it really complicates matters, to put it mildly. Now scientists have to face the possibility that for any one given disease, many more genes are involved than they had thought in the past. And also that the genetic variants associated with a particular disease may vary depending on the population. Needless to say, that really shoots the old one gene causes one disease, therefore we can use one treatment, pretty much to hell in a handbasket. It also means that we're going to have to rethink the way we diagnose disease. We're going to have to change our approach. Perhaps going back to the era where getting a history was more important than ordering a test. But beyond this, I couldn't help thinking when I read about these new findings, is what does that mean for our domestic animals, particularly our oldest domestic animal, the dog, who it seems to me might have experienced a population surge somewhat similar to that of the human species. Did that same population surge, or dogs and other domestic animals, bring with it that same myriad of genetic mutations that varied from one location to another? I think that's a thought worth more consideration. The reason I say that is because I noticed when we got off on this idea of eliminating animals with a certain condition from the breeding population based on the idea that this was a genetic disease and even perhaps some proof of that in some quarters, even though we may have lowered the incidence of a particular disease, we didn't get rid of it completely. And not only that, it seemed like other problems were cropping up. Other problems that superficially appeared to be totally unrelated. Now I have to wonder, when we take this ecological view of the genome, when we eliminate an entire set of DNA with all of its involved, intricate, intertwined forms of genetic expression, in the long run, what are we destroying? I would maintain, at least based on the studies of the human species, we have no idea. We have no idea whatsoever. And I think until we do have a better idea, that we ought to stop and consider what we're doing. We need to consider the actual value of these genetic tests and these associations of a certain genetic footprint with a certain disease to the exclusion of everything else that particular genetic footprint might impact. And whether that's true for the entire species or just that very small population that we happen to study. We need to be careful when it comes to what we say about the genome and DNA and genes and disease, that we don't get too proud. Because Mother Nature, well, as history shows us, she does have a way of slapping us down.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.